Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day?
Oh, you know it. Good morning, everybody. And in the infinite words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, good to see you again, Mark.
It's good to be here, Michael.
Did somebody else display brute strength on that microphone and break that?
Apparently Nick Ferguson.
No, that wasn't Nick. Nick was here yesterday. He didn't do it.
There's a note over here that says Nick Ferguson broke me on the mic that's
nope,
down.
Not Nick. Nick was here the whole time.
Did he come back last night?
Oh, last night. That's right. So he was tired, so he overcompensated.
Right. These mic stands are like Bradley Chubb's ankles.
Trembling.
They're trembling constantly. This is going to be... I feel like? I feel like that Saturday Night Live skit where the two ladies talk about, like, this is that mic. They were like, that's good coffee.
Yeah, really? Yeah. That's nice.
This mic stand is going to be, because you know me, I'm constantly moving around and I got a, you know, I don't know what you would call, I've got ADD microphone issues. Like I gotta lean back, I put my feet up, then I take them down, and then I feel like I'm trapped in like economy plus right now.
And one thing Mark Schlereth never does
in the middle seat
is economy plus.
Yeah. And you know what, me, I travel first class.
Kind of a big deal.
I like that old timey mic stand. It's Carson-esque. Yeah, and it's true.
This is TikTok McLaughlin.
And it is. You're right. It's kind of like, all right, let's bring in our next guest, Pete Schwede.
Yeah, Schwede. He's got Schwede balls.
Oh, man, it's good to be back.
I don't care
how many times I see that. I laugh. Speaking of SNL, the tributes coming in from fellow comedians. For Norm MacDonald is, what a testament, huh? Talk about a life well led when you have the respect of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently he did. Wow. Funny guy.
Very, very funny, very dry.
A guy
that I always liked. And the funny thing is, his delivery, and I've got to assume that it was, you know, it was a premeditated, like his delivery was fairly clumsy. It wasn't like he was, like, it wasn't like he was really sharp.
Right.
But you know, he was really sharp. I watched a bunch of little highlights here and there that, you know, just of shows and things that he has done. And he had me in, you don't hear this very often. This is an old time term. He had me in stitches.
Stitches, you say?
Yes, stitches, I say. Anyhow.
On the Ramoslav.com text line, your mic stands are reliable as Paxton Lynch.
Ah!
good.
Actually, you know what? Our live mic stands are way more reliable than that because they, you know, they show up every single
day.
Now, they occasionally break, but when they do break, they don't cry. So
these mic stands are always first in, last out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes they have a rough day.
Yeah. What did you say, 2293?
No, 2294.
94, yeah. Nestled up against 3,000.
Coming up very close to 3,000,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, nestled right up there.
Nestled right up against it. Well, good to have you back. Thanks to Nick Ferguson, who sat in yesterday. And we jump right in. Millennial Ben. Spicy, salty Millennial Ben.
Apparently,
this is him. I'm doing Millennial Ben
here. Okay.
Apparently, the Broncos only sign free agents that are going to be hurt right away. That's his thing. Hey, we're going to sign you with the condition that you get hurt right away.
Right. You only give us 1 to 3 weeks. Hey, we're going to get to see Pat Surtain, right? I mean, you got to think that he's moving out to the number two corner to be the starter out there. So we're going to get to see him. It'll be interesting to see now how that changes, you know, what they do in dime situations, because that was really what he was doing. He was playing the linebacker in dime. So anyhow, it'll be interesting to see, but he's going to get his opportunity to run with the ones.
So the reason he only played 16 snaps was based on the scheme of the defense, or did you also have to mix in some displeasure from the coaching staff over that missed tackle on the Sterling Shepard touchdown?
I mean, you don't ever want to miss tackles, and that's a Vic Fangio thing. And I mentioned in the broadcast, when you look at the way, you look at the way the corners played, you know, not only covering the pass and stuff, but coming up, Ronald Darby had a couple of nice hits, Fuller had a couple of nice, you gotta be able to tackle. So, that's one. Now he wasn't in a great position, based on the play and the scheme. They didn't get the pressure. That's really hard to cover a guy through traffic across the field, to maintain leverage. You still got to make that tackle. And that play was wide open because your linebacker just got sucked up in man. I mean, if you're sloughing off like you should be, you can still cover man from there. But if you're getting enough depth, it makes it a much more difficult. You have better distribution of spacing of players. So it makes it a much more difficult throw. So there's several things that happen, which there always is in every play. But yeah, you got to make that tackle. But no, I think most of it was they didn't play a lot of dime because you got a lot of two tight end formations, and you got what they, you know, the way they lined up from a personnel standpoint. And you knew they wanted to get Barkley going, even though they didn't get him going. You just stayed out of a lot of the dime stuff that I think you had the potential of playing, but you just didn't.
Well, it appears certainly that the Nuggets are all in with the core that they are trying to win a championship built around. We'll react to the Aaron Gordon signing coming up in the morning brew here in just a little bit. But up next, Mark has the unique perspective of being able to, when he works a game, being able to talk to the coaches and the quarterbacks. And I'd love to get your observations of talking one-on-one with Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur prior to the Giants game. We'll hear that coming up. This is Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
One of the best things about you getting a chance to call the Broncos-Giants was the lead-up to the game where you get an opportunity to sit down, really, you know, one-on-one almost. You know, you got the other people from your crew, but still there's that one-on-one feel that
people
you get
know me
for an extended amount of time.
Well, I will say this. Like I'm essentially the only person asking questions in that. It is like everybody else is just taking notes.
Okay. So it's you one-on-one then.
Pretty much, you know, once I'm done with, I'll go 30, 40 minutes. Like I went 40 minutes straight with Joe Judge without anybody else asking a question. And then I'm like, okay, that's good for me. You guys got anything? And there might be a question or two, but the bottom line, yeah, I have these one-on-one sessions, and that, I mean, that's just the way my crew does them. Other crews do them differently, but I want to learn something about football. I mean, educate me, right? I want to ask questions that are relevant to game plans, that are relevant to what you're doing, so that I can be more educated about the game.
So when we see a Vic Fangio up there doing one of his big press conferences, a Pat Shurmur, Teddy Bridgewater, that's fine.
Right.
That's fine. But I think you get a chance to get a little bit more. And I think these guys are in the mood to give you a little bit more, and you get maybe a little bit closer to, you know, what really is going on.
Sure.
And so I'm curious, you and I talked a little bit Saturday morning about your conversations with the Broncos. So a couple of things that stood out to you first of all, in talking with Vic.
Do you have anywhere you want me to go? Like any, do you want to lead me somewhere that I said? Because, you know, I've had so many conversations.
Okay. Let's first of all, did you talk about the idea of him being on the hot seat?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, he knows that everybody's on the hot seat. I think it was very apparent fourth down and two from the 49 yard line. That he knows what's going on. He knows he's coaching for his job. He knows September hasn't been good. But all of a sudden, he's in a position where he has a quarterback that he trusts. He has a guy that he knows isn't going to leave him in the wind. He's got a guy that understands protection. He's got a guy that understands the timing of plays, the protection in the pocket, where the issues. You know, I think the one thing about the quarterbacking situation and where Vic had confidence in Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, you talk about politics sometimes and, you know, and great politicians, they all know where the bodies are buried, right? They all know what the issues are. Like, Teddy Bridgewater knows the issues. He knows where he can get in trouble. And so, as a coach, you love a guy that understands that. You know why? Because he avoids the issues. He avoids the problems. He knows where the hots are. He knows where, you know, he knows where the checkdowns are when he needs them. He knows where the bailout plays are. And so from a confidence standpoint in what they're doing offensively, there's confidence there for Vic Fangio with this offense that, in frankly, in 2 years, he's had zero.
So did you come away talking with Vic that the competition between Bridgewater and Locke really wasn't that close? For a lot of those reasons, the trust, the intangibles.
Yeah.
Like, does he go for it on those fourth down plays if Drew's quarterback?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, then I don't think. And in his mind, then the competition wasn't even close to being close.
You know, here's the deal. Everybody's going to say the right thing, right? Everybody's going to say that it was close. And it was close in that Drew makes a lot of big time plays. And it was close in they really wanted him to, you know, to understand what the issues are, to understand the protection, to understand the timing of plays, to understand. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And it just, you, like everybody from Pat Shurmur to Vic to even Teddy talked about how close the competition was. And then you talk to them about deeper concepts and deeper football meaning, and you can tell that it wasn't close. Like, at least that's my takeaway as a football guy. And, you know, bottom line, talking to Pat Shurmur about Teddy, he's got, hey, man, he's classically trained. He's got West Coast feet. He's been doing it since he was in Louisville. And West Coast feet just means you know your drops. Your drops are precise. You know exactly what your hitches are. And all those drops, all those hitches, all the timing of those things line up to the completions. They line up to route combinations. They are the difference between being on time and being accurate and being late and inaccurate. And that's if you break down the two quarterbacks, that's what it boils down to. It doesn't boil down to, wow, did you see that 50-yard seam that guy threw? Hey, whoop-de-doo, Basil. No one gives a crap because you can't do that. You can't do the, you know, to be able, it's like raising kids, Mike. Here's how it's like raising kids, because I know that's why I can see that quizzical look. Is that the right word? Quizzical look on your forehead. Your brow wrinkled a little bit.
Wow.
Your brow wrinkled, your eyebrows. Like, how is it like raising kids?
When my brow wrinkles, it's like a rip in time.
Right, exactly. Your brow wrinkles. That thing looks like the ocean and the tide coming in with all those little waves. So, anyhow,
dirty footage just stacking up.
Yeah, just one after the other. I'd like to surf your forehead.
All right, enough about my forehead.
Okay, so here's how it's like raising kids. If your kids consistently do the little things correctly, what do we let them do? The big things, right? Because they earn our trust. If you consistently screw up the little things, I mean, the big things don't really matter. You're not going to get to do them as often, right? Or when you do them, I mean, you got to worry about all the little things that you didn't do. So it's just like, that's the sense.
You did a few Bronco games last year. So you had a chance to talk to Vic and Shurmur last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, did
did they seem different in any ways in talking to him this time around?
Well, I just think the overall confidence of what they're doing, the overall confidence in the maturity of the players and how they've grown up. You know, Jerry Jeudy, now, unfortunately, he's going to be out for a while, but the confidence that Jerry Jeudy grew with, and the work that he put in, the confidence they have in their revamped offensive line, the confidence they have in the growth of their tight end position, the confidence they have, just in running the ball. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to base out of the zone stuff, but they want to be a volume run team. They want to have a lot of different ways to attack. And so, you know, even if you look at what San Francisco's doing, and I spent I was watching film at 4 a.m. this morning, the Niners offense, their volume in the running game, they're still going to base out of zone principle stuff. But the volume of the way they attack the zone, the motions they use, the way they get people off balance, the angles they create, the entry points they use with tight ends and fullbacks, that's what makes them voluminous. Is that right? Volume? It's like a hair commercial. Volume. You got to have a lot of
volume. Voluminous?
Is it voluminous?
I think it's voluminous.
Voluminous.
Voluminous, which is actually... That is one hot sounding word right there.
Voluminous.
Voluminous.
Could you imagine if, like Barry White said, voluminous? I mean, articles of clothing would be falling off right now. Oh, I can say that, like in the broadcast. Oh, hey, you know, the thing I love about this running game is that, you know, they run out of the base zone. Keep that up though in the background, Ben. They run that out of the base zone, but, it's voluminous. And keep on doing it. Hey, we're going to attack it with 19 handoff. I'm going to insert a receiver here. Oh, voluminous. How you think?
Yeah. Please stop.
That would be... I could get a recording deal out of this.
You nailed that.
Very sexy.
Text from Jasco. Speaking of raising kids, I'm happy to announce my wife Andrea and I are having our first child. Found out it's going to be a boy. From our doctor visit. Way to go.
Oh, Jasco.
Nicely done.
Little Mark Jr.
For you, bud. What?
Little Mark.
Little Mark.
Well, I mean, you name him after me. I'm not saying, you know.
Marksler.
That came out wrong. Little Stinker.
Little Stinker.
This
is our little stinker.
It's our little stinker. Hey, congratulations. Seriously, that is awesome. And you know what? About to change your life.
For the better.
Yes. Let's change your life.
All right, coming up, we've got the Morning Brew. Urban Meyer will be on the sideline this Sunday for Jacksonville, but is that truly where he wants to be? This is Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, we just want him to play some. You know, he's too good of a player to only play in the dime package. So we want to have him ready, and we're grooming him. Not grooming him, but he deserves to play some. So we're going to play him some.
Well, is it that convenient? Ronald Darby goes down with a hamstring injury, and that means Patrick Surtain will get a chance to play a lot more than the 16 snaps that we saw the other day against the Giants. And this is why I was always kind of uncomfortable during the latter stages of the preseason when George Payton's going on and talking about, we're getting a lot of calls about our DBs. I'm like, don't take them. Hold on to them. Injuries happen. They happened last year. You can never have enough corners. And already here we are 1 week into the season, and thank goodness he didn't make a trade.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, Surtain needs to play. He's a really good player. Don't, you know, always be careful about getting Wally pipped over there, right? Because that can happen. But, you know, Darby will be back. It's a hamstring injury. He'll be back. You also know he's supposed to miss, I think, 3 weeks, right? It's like a short-term IR or something. Yeah, I don't know how the rules work. It seems like they always manipulate the rules, right? There's always... No, I'm not talking about the Broncos. I'm just talking about the league. Like you throw them on short term. You can come off after this. You got to work out once or twice. You know.
Well, they did need to change it because it was so. If you went on IR, you were done for the rest of the season, which was
dumb.
Too.
That's dumb too.
Too rigid. You know. Hey, he could be back in 6 weeks, but we got to ding him for the entire year.
Right. Although. That is what we like to refer to as the land of milk and honey. Where the milk is oh so cold and the honey so, so sweet.
Oh, you like being put on season-ending IR?
Well, I mean, you're just in there rehabbing. You're not beating your body to a pulp. No, I don't like it, but, you know.
Sounds like it's not the worst thing.
It's
land of milk and honey.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, what's the old tagline? Membership has its privileges. Is that, is that American Express?
Is that what IR is?
Yeah, it has its privileges.
It does sound like it.
A lot of coffee.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We've all got our ass kicked before. Let's tighten up and go. I believe in that team. I believe in our staff and come back to work.
Urban
Meyer.
That's
a lot of things to determine.
That was a lot.
Is the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But does he want to be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars? How long will he be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because immediately when USC fired their coach, rumors started to pop up all over the place that Urban Meyer might be interested in the USC job. In fact, our very own Joel Klatt, who will join us coming up at 8 o'clock, put together a list of people that USC has to talk to before they settle on their choice. And in Joel's opinion, Urban Meyer's one of them.
Smell yourself.
Yeah, that would be a really, really Bobby Petrino bad look.
Wouldn't it?
All right?
Yeah.
Just leave a note up there. Hey, guys, I left. Go Hogs.
Pig
suey.
Yeah.
See you later. Pig suey. Pig suey. When he went to Arkansas, T-U-R-D, a turd.
By the way, also... Jacksonville not allowing Urban Meyer to speak with the Denver media this week.
What?
Yep.
Why?
Who? Their PR staff?
Their PR staff.
How is that? How can...
Probably because they're afraid of a bunch of USC questions, and they don't want to deal with it.
Well, just tell him not to address any USC questions.
I know, but this is, I do not like the way this is going. And I,
some PR departments are insanely stupid.
I know, but this is,
it's usually the bad teams that have really bad PR. Like they feel like they gotta, you know, everything's under cloak and dagger. Like nobody knows what's going on.
I get it, but. More and more teams are trying to control their own message. Players are trying to control their own message. The need for the Zoom interviews and taking away the in-person interviews inside the locker room. I know that there is a predisposition out there to not like the media and all that, but the media ultimately is the conduit between the teams and the players and you. And it just seems to me, it just feels like we are getting further and further away from really being able to get that connection with the players and the teams that we used to have before, to be able to tell the stories, to be able to pass along the information. It just seems like we're moving farther and farther away. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it back.
Here's a little piece of advice. Drop a set. Put your big boy pants on, Jacksonville. Just put or either that or move to London. Right? And go have Jason Sudeikis coach your team. Couldn't be any worse. Have some tea and trumpets. I love tea and trumpets in the morning.
I'm not going to fall for that.
Tea is delicious.
I'm not going to fall for that.
The trumpets, you can hear them playing in the background. Listen, right here in this music.
I'm not going to fall for that.
That's a trumpet or a bugle or some type of horn instrument.
Not happening. Okay, next on the Morning Bro.
10-point lead. Gordon the cut. And the finish on a gorgeous delivery from Nikola Jokic. Gordon has his first field goal of the game.
TNT, and boy, the Nuggets are committed. They're committed. This is their core. This is what they're going to ride with. This is what they believe will deliver a championship. Aaron Gordon agreeing to a 4-year, $92 million contract. Oh, the money that these NBA players make. Heard from a friend yesterday.
heard from a friend yesterday who was like, wow, can't believe that kind of money. I'm like, dude, look, you got to just understand NBA money is funny money. It's monopoly money. Don't get all bothered by it. This is actually, believe it or not, this is actually the going rate for a player like Aaron Gordon. Now, the question is, are we going to see the Aaron Gordon that we were promised coming over from Orlando, or the Aaron Gordon who, let's face it, was a disappointment in his time as a Denver Nugget?
Well, you would hope, you know, a year, a full year in the system, not just a transitional where you get traded and you're here. And you know, going to training camp and all that, you'll get the Aaron Gordon, you know, that you were promised. The Aaron Gordon that is a dynamic player and that will settle into his offensive role for some reason. And if that were the case, then, you know, you might hear trumpets or bugles
or
cornets.
Or we'll celebrate with some delicious crumpets.
Yes, or maybe a flugelhorn. You know, any of the brass wind wood instruments.
Wind wood. I remember that. I do remember that. You know, Michael Malone's happy.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Still from Barry White.
You don't even have to enunciate the words if you're singing Michael McDonald. All you gotta do is get the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have to say the words.
I hear it.
Yeah,
you can hear it.
It's identical.
Identical. Now do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Oh, boy. Apparently not everybody was won over by Teddy Bridgewater's performance on Sunday. As you'll hear coming up next, this is Denver's Sports Station 104.3, The Fan. Well, despite you sharing your conversations with Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater, and
we were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Yeah. And raving about Bridgewater, and Bridgewater having a great performance. In fact, I was listening to the drive yesterday. I thought of you yesterday when they said, if they start 3-0, how loud will the drumbeat be to give Bridgewater a new contract? And I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, Mark will be all for that.
No, I'm not going down. I'm not getting duped down that road again.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
I was vulnerable trying to impress you.
You were trying to impress me.
At the time, you were like the Papa Bear. You were like the mentor, you know. You were like the mentor that I was like, I'm going to impress my mentor. And then you realized, maybe the mentor's an idiot, you know. But it was before I had the revelation that I didn't know that you were such, you know, a conniving wedge driver at the time. I didn't have that sense.
Uh-huh.
And now I know the ulterior motives that, I have to be careful about.
Okay. Here's some, apparently not everybody was, blown away by Teddy.
Good.
Some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. That's so crazy that we have the second coming of Peyton Manning and Teddy Bridgewater, and all the other 49 teams that he's played for in the last 2 years did not know that. How lucky we are.
Absolutely.
BS, it was a rigged competition from the beginning, anyone with half a brain saw that. Besides, we sacrificed the future for an 8-win season. Great.
Hey, I mean, nobody's saying he's the second coming of Peyton Manning. That hasn't come out of anybody's mouth ever, except yours, Marilat. I'm assuming that was James on the text line.
Burner account?
You burner account. And please give me a break. We sacrificed the future. Well, I saw the future take three or four snaps at the end of the Atlanta-Philadelphia game. That's right. The backup quarterback came in to replace Matt Ryan. It was Josh Rosen on his 17th team. You know, stop that garbage. Stop with the garbage. Sacrificed the future. And you know, again, 2009 to 2017, 23 first round quarterbacks taken, top of the draft quarterbacks taken. None of them are still with their current team who drafted them. Stop with this false, stupid narrative that if you take a guy in the first round, he's going to become a star. Stop it. I don't want to hear it anymore.
How about this one? I noticed the offense Shermer ran with Teddy seemed to resemble the offense Gangarella was running with Locke. What the heck was he doing last year running that run-and-shoot BS?
Well, he didn't run-and-shoot BS, but they based out of three wides, which they still base out of, essentially. But he was coming in here to task, and for whatever reason, Vic Fangio didn't like wrinkles. Okay, I mean, that happens. You have a clash of personalities. You have a clash of philosophies. But Vic Fangio said, this is the offense that I want because I've always had a tougher time defending it because it is so multiple, right? And that's why he hired Scangarello. And then for whatever reason, you had, like I said, a clash of personalities. Well, you have to have your reason. So then the reason was we want to open it up. We want to push it down the field more. Our quarterback has a big arm. We want to take advantage of that. Well, you know what? I mean, that went over like a fart in a church pew. And so then you changed that idea to let's get back to what I've always had a tough time defending. And you saw, based out of three wides, but you saw a multitude of two tight end formations, motions, putting the tight end in the backfield. You saw more traditional kind of quote unquote West Coast offense. Although a healthy scratch. Beck, Andrew Beck was a healthy scratch, so they couldn't get into the 21 personnel we saw a lot of in training camp. And I was really when they made that call pregame, you know, I get the inactives. I was like, ooh, that's obviously they're not going to run it, but that was a strange thing for me, but they didn't need it.
By the way, you owe somebody an apology.
I do not. Who would I owe an apology? Well, I am, if nothing, I am humble and gracious. So if I owe somebody an apology, you can damn well rest assured they're going to get that apology.
Well, let's see if it happens. You owe Noah Fant an apology.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you
know.
Noah
Fant. I don't know Noah Fant jack.
You crushed him all offseason.
I did not crush
him. Said that he doesn't have the separation skills.
Sorry.
Field, that you prefer Albert O. And all Noah Fant did was go on to be the most targeted of all the receivers. And Teddy did a great job of distributing the ball. He was the most targeted with 8 targets, 6 catches, 62 yards. Looked powerful, looked explosive. Looked very good. So now might be a good time to apologize.
Absolutely not. Where did he catch those? What were the routes that he ran on those?
And by the way, there was one target that he was open, and Teddy hit the defender in the back.
Well, I'm just asking.
So it should have been 7 catches for like 90 yards.
What were the? It should have been. Yeah, it should have been.
Ladies and gentlemen. We got him.
Yeah. If Daniel Jones doesn't fumble, it would have been a lot closer game. And if my aunt had yardage, she'd be my uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you
that was coming.
What kind of routes was he running? Was he exploiting one-on-one coverage?
He looked like a tight end to me. He looked like a mismatched tight end.
No. He ran a bunch of shallow crosses and delays.
Well.
Hey, it was great.
Isn't that what most tight ends run? I mean, I don't see tight ends running go routes.
Okay, tight ends. I'm talking about controlling the middle of the field. I'm trying one-on-one in the middle of the football field, exploiting those guys, getting in and out of breaks, running basics and all those things. No, that's not what he ran. So, hey, man, I'm fine. He had a good game. Good for Noah Fant. I like it. Does he have to be better? You know, does he still have things to improve on, blocking on the edge and all those things? Yeah, but so does Albert O. He needs to be better at that too.
Would we both agree though that the combination of the two is pretty enticing?
Absolutely.
What they can do with those two?
Yes.
Scary.
Very, but I'm not apologizing to anybody for being right. I'm not apologizing for being right, Mike. You don't get an island. You don't get an island for making a bunch of apologies when you're right.
That's a good point. You don't have your own island with Mount Pompous and Paxton Lynch.
Bluff.
Bulls Bluff and Simeon Point and
Paxton Lynch, Lazy River.
Yeah. Rogers Rock.
Ooh, that rock. That rock was made of.
Rock.
What was that sand? What was this? What was the stuff you used to carve, like sandstone or soapstone? Right?
Yeah.
That rock.
You know, that rock that you could just start picking off pieces of it?
That rock is. Yeah, it's not like it's like a painted big. It's a big boulder that's painted soap, and if it rains, it's just going to melt. Apparently,
okay,
wow. It's going to happen any day.
Confident he'll.
We're
going
to have Rogers.
Confident he'll bounce back. Okay,
yes.
Coming up next, you did have a chance to talk exclusively one on one with Teddy Bridgewater, and based on the conversation you and I had afterwards, you were pretty blown away, and you'll explain why. Next, this is Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.